from CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight, and welcome to our listeners at North State Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. We are hearing about life changes now in terms of months instead of weeks. Early in the afternoon yesterday, Sacramento leaders announced a stay-at-home directive. Our conversations that happened live on air started with Sacramento Supervisor Phil Cerna, who said this.
I think once we saw what happened in the Bay Area region with the counties collectively issuing the order that they did. And given our juxtaposition geographically to the Bay Area, I think there's, you know, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise to folks that this was coming. And so it took some time to think through this and to think again kind of sequentially of how we're going to deploy this directive with the hope that it really sinks in for the public to help us flatten the curve. I think everyone's becoming best in that term now in terms of the virus transmission.
Supervisor Cerna referring to the Bay Area, where there is actually a shelter-in-place order for seven counties. We spoke then to Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg about the stay-at-home order for this city.
The order is clear. Do not socialize in small or large groups. And that means stay at home, except for those everyday necessities of life that you have to engage in.
So not 2 hours later, Governor Gavin Newsom held a press conference, and he expressed a no-gathering advisory for the entire state. He gave a broad update of a number of topics, but perhaps the headline that came out of that press conference was him saying few, if any, schools in California would open again for months before summer break. Later, he was asked by a reporter in the question and answer period to clarify his comment, and we're going to share this because he answered the question with a story.
Last night I got home, forgive this very personal point, very long day, appropriately and understandably, got home. There were some screams in one of the bedroom, and my wife, who was doing her best, said, "This is all yours." And one of my daughters was expressing deep stress and anxiety that she wasn't in school. Of course, never heard those words from her. I was encouraged by that. She missed her friends, and she couldn't go to bed. And she had thrown her, little bunny rabbit on the floor and pillows, most of the rest of the bed on the floor. And I was with her in a very sober moment over a course of about an hour. And I told her, "Honey, I don't think the schools are going to open again." And if I can tell my daughter that and not tell your daughter that or the people isn't, then I'm not being honest and true to the people of the state of California. Boy, I hope I'm wrong, but I believe that to be the case based upon work we all have to do.
So, of course, that raises many, many more questions, all of which will be answered and attended to in time. But that does give a completely different picture for really the rest of this year in terms of what happens into summer break, then into summer, and what this will mean for the school year starting again in the fall. The governor also made a couple points, which included the fact that the state needs more swabs. If you were listening to President Trump's press conference, he just invoked a national act which will free up medical supplies, and the swabs issue is being dealt with. Also, from the governor, a need for telehealth expansion to include California's Medicaid patients as well. So there is much more coverage of this at capradio.org. In the midst of this news yesterday afternoon and on the air, I talked with the Sacramento County Health Services Director, Dr. Peter Bielenson. You're going to hear me clarifying some points because this was all happening in fast motion live on the air. And keep in mind that word months, which is our new reality. So I asked Dr. Bielenson first about the updated county directives.
It's a fairly wide-ranging directive. The two most important parts is it's directing those age 65 and older and those with chronic health conditions to stay at home when at all possible. They can go on walks or go to the park to walk a dog, et cetera, provided they are at least 6 feet from others. And also for less vulnerable populations, those at lower risk should also stay home to the maximum extent possible, except when going to essential sites like grocery stores or pharmacies.
So that essentially echoes what the governor had already suggested and ordered by an executive order. Our understanding from both the Sacramento mayor and county supervisor Phil Cerna is that this is an expansive stay at home to anybody to stay at home right now and do not go out unless it's essential.
That's exactly what we're saying. Again, 65 and older should stay home, especially those with chronic health conditions. They can go on walks to the park, for example, but that's what we're talking about. And then the less vulnerable populations also should stay at home as much as possible, except when going out to essential sites like grocery stores, pharmacies, and healthcare facilities. So that's an advance to what we've been pursuing before.
Dr. Bielenson, just bear with me here, because I think the difference is in whether everybody is being told to stay home as opposed to just those in those high-risk groups. I'm not in one of those groups. Am I under a stay-at-home directive, an order right now?
Yes, not a legal order, but under a directive, yes. If you're in the less vulnerable populations, which are those under 65 or those without underlying conditions, we want them to stay at home as well, except when going to essential sites, which is the same thing that was promulgated in the orders that were put out by the Bay Area counties.
And the difference between here and the Bay Area is that we do not have an enforcement aspect to this at this time, correct?
That's correct. We're issuing this as a directive with strongly urging folks to abide by it, and we'll continue to look at other options as the situation develops.
We had thought in the earlier conversation that this was being extended for 3 weeks, but what do you think the timetable is? How long is this in place?
It's until further notice, and that will probably be months.
Probably be months.
But it depends on the epidemic.
Will you give me the update in terms of what tests are showing and how you think the virus is moving right now? And is that what specifically precipitated this?
That's part of what precipitated this. We have 40 cases to date. I think it'll be 45 by the end of the day. But we're testing, you know, we don't have adequate number of tests. So these are just the number of people that have been tested positive. There's a significantly larger number of people who have tested who would be positive for this virus if we had enough tests.
So on the federal level, we're hearing about testing increasing. The last time you and I checked in, which was a couple days ago, the county was able to test 25 to 30 people per day. Where is the testing level in the county now?
It's a small amount above that, but the vast majority of the tests going forward, because those are prioritized, those in the county health department are prioritized to seniors with significant symptoms, and healthcare workers who have been exposed to a positive test. That's who we prioritize those tests at the health department to be for. Going forward, the vast majority of people who will be tested through national laboratory companies like LabCorp and Quest. And they've just started coming into the state. They still are sending them to other parts of the state or other parts of the country when they get the swabs in their possession. So it's still a limited number of tests, unfortunately.
At the top of the list on this latest directive in the facts about COVID-19, your office wrote, a significant majority of those infected have no or only mild symptoms. What's it looking like to the people who begin to have this? And I know we're repeating ourselves again, but I think it's really important. What is the beginning of this looking like?
You mean the beginning of symptomatically?
Yes.
So symptomatically, 81% of people around the country and around the world have a mild or asymptomatic, no symptoms at all with this infection. So for many, it's actually no symptoms, although we'll get back to that in a second. For those who have mild or moderate symptoms, they are basically low-grade fever, cough, and shortness of breath are the three kind of cardinal signs of this. That being said, one of the really important points and one of the reasons that we're trying to have the less vulnerable populations, i.e. those under 65 or those without chronic underlying conditions, to stay home is so that they don't spread the virus accidentally, because a goodly number of people who have the virus can be for 14 days shedding that virus, i.e. be contagious, and never have any symptoms. So we're trying to prevent them from infecting older people and those at significant risk.
Okay, this is tough. When you say 81% have mild or no symptoms, then how are you even figuring that out if they're typically not being tested? And then how are you keeping them from infecting others?
Very good question on both parts. First of all, there will be significant, my guess is there will be significantly more people testing positive as we get more tests going on that are asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic, so that 81% will probably go higher. Secondly, in terms of trying to keep people from spreading it, that's exactly why we have this directive, is to urge people to stay at home, whether they're seniors with underlying health conditions or millennials without underlying health conditions, for opposite reasons. The millennials from communicating the disease to seniors, and seniors from getting it from someone in their neighborhood.
One more question, and I asked the same of Sacramento's mayor. We have a lot of government workers here at all levels, and often state workers are going to work or telecommuting. They are not on this list of essential sites or workers. What about government workers right now?
So I think that's probably best left to the public, the personnel departments of those entities. We certainly encourage people to telecommute or teleconference. And unless in an essential activity, they should probably stay at home, particularly seniors and those with underlying health conditions. But we leave it up to personnel services.
All right. I have about 15 more seconds. Anything else to be sure to say to everybody right now, Dr. Bielenson?
No, just that we urge people to follow these directives. And again, we're issuing this with the hope that people will abide by it, but we'll continue to look at other options as the situation develops.
Oh, and I'm being asked by our newsroom to please reiterate the timeline on this. Say again what this is and how long it's in place.
These are directives from the Sacramento County Public Health Department, and they're in place until further notice.
All right, that was Sacramento County Health Services Director Dr. Peter Bielenson in a conversation with me yesterday afternoon. We are going to check in right now with San Joaquin County's Director of Public Health. She is Zienna Blackwell Rodriguez, and she's joining us by phone. Glad to have you with us on Insight.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'd like to hear the update from San Joaquin County, and like many other counties, your positive case count for COVID-19 right now seems to be changing, sometimes updated in the same day.
That is correct. Sometimes minute by minute. We are doing our best to keep our website updated with current information, but as you are well aware, it changes very rapidly. As of this moment in time, we do have 14 confirmed cases in our county and 2 deaths.
You've had 2 deaths now.
That is correct.
So that's a new number. Can you tell me some circumstances surrounding the patients who have died and also what transmission you know about the positive cases that you're watching?
So we do know that we do have community transmission. And that the 2 deaths that have occurred in our county were in the high-risk population of the 65 and older age range that had other chronic health issues.
If you were listening to the president's press conference this morning, you, like everybody else, would have heard Dr. Deborah Birx say, our numbers are going to dramatically increase as the backlog of tests are processed over the next couple days. What's your sense of what the broader picture in San Joaquin County is right now?
I do believe that due to the fact that many of the people in San Joaquin County are commuters, and that what we see in surrounding counties is higher numbers than what we currently have. Also coupled with the fact that now commercial laboratories are testing, the more tests that you run, the more likely you will have positive. So I anticipate that our numbers will continue to grow here in San Joaquin County.
Give me a picture of the availability of test kits, how many people the county had been able to test, and how that's been moving.
So I do want to take a moment to clarify that when we speak of test kits, we're actually referring to the laboratories that are running the tests. And I think that the general public often is under the impression that that means the specimen collection that would occur at their provider. Now, we do have noticed that there are a shortage of the swabs that are being performed in the doctor's offices to collect the specimen, as is there is only a certain number of test kits that the laboratories are using to run those tests. Currently, in the San Joaquin County Public Health Lab, we are able to run 60 tests per day, and our lab is open 7 days a week. We only have enough test kits at this point in time to last a few days, but our request for more has been approved. We just have not received them as of this morning yet.
You are able to test more people through your county lab in San Joaquin County than I've been told Sacramento County has been able to test.
So part of that is that we have increased our lab staff by calling back some part-time staff that have retired and expanding our hours. So we are able to do the two runs a day, which results in 60 tests. But I would also like to clarify that we need to prioritize what we do in our public health lab to support our healthcare infrastructure overall. So our priority is for patients that are hospitalized and especially those that are in ICU beds so that we can make sure that we're turning over beds in the hospital as appropriate to make sure that our overall infrastructure is able to support the needs of our communities.
So what do you want people to do who feel sick and have symptoms that they suspect could be COVID-19?
So first and foremost, stay home. If you have symptoms that do not warrant medical care, if they're just normal cold and flu symptoms, stay home. Stay home as much as possible. If you have to go out, do your social distancing and only go to critical needs such as picking up medication or food, and if possible, send someone else to do that. Wash your hands frequently, disinfect any surfaces that you're touching to prevent the spread of disease, and as always, cover your cough.
I'm talking with Sienna Blackwell Rodriguez. She is the Director of Public Health in San Joaquin County. To what extent are you able to talk about schools? I know the 14 school districts in the county are closed, and there was an anticipated reopening of April 6th, which now seems, based on what the governor is saying, I guess, unrealistic.
So we are available to consult with the school districts and continue to monitor our situation. Ultimately, we would like to support their decision in closing schools, but have not moved to a point that we would offer an actual order to close the schools. But definitely, I'm in constant communication with not only schools, but healthcare facilities and employers and any of the homeless shelters and any entities that would require guidance or have high-risk populations.
I'm so happy to be able to have this conversation with you. And just to somewhat reiterate what you've said, give me your sense of the alert that San Joaquin County is in and on right now based on the population there and what you're seeing in this 14 positive cases, 2 deaths in the county, and where the testing is going.
So as previously stated, we anticipate that the testing will continue to increase in volume as other laboratories are able to provide those services. And so we will see an increase in our numbers. I would also like to say to the general public that this does not warrant panic, that we need to remain calm and reasonable and follow the guidance that is put forth by public health.
Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your time on Insight.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That is San Joaquin County's Director of Public Health, Sienna Blackwell Rodriguez. The mayor of Stockton is on the phone with us, Mayor Michael Tubbs. He's been listening to this. And Mayor Tubbs, I'll just open it up to you to say what you'd like to say following that conversation.
Well, first and foremost, I know for a lot of people, there's a lot of anxiety. People are upset, people are scared, people are paranoid. As we've been saying in Stockton, that this moment is a moment not to panic, but to prepare. To prepare not only to make sure you have toilet paper and food and things of that sort, which aren't in danger of being gone, that there's enough food and toilet paper for everyone, but also prepare to just make sacrifices. It's going to hurt all of us. We're all going to end up staying home more than we're used to. We're going to end up not being able to move as freely out and about in social spaces, but it's to protect our most vulnerable. And I think particularly in a community like Stockton, where there's lots of people with chronic conditions, it's important for folks to stay at home unless they're doing things that are essential. If they're doing essential job services or if they're getting groceries or prescriptions. And I think it's also an opportunity for us to prepare to be kinder than ever before, more empathetic, more giving, and to prepare to be good neighbors as we navigate through this public health crisis together.
The county has declared an emergency. Do you have or are you putting in place any kind of a stay-at-home order right now in terms of the city?
Well, from my understanding, the county public health official will have to make that directive. And as soon as that directive is made, we stand ready to comply. And I think given the fact that we went from 13 to 14 already in two deaths, given the fact that as we test more and more cases will be found, and given the fact that we have, again, a lot of people in our community who aren't just 65 and older, but also who may be younger but have chronic health conditions, I think we have to have a directive from our county public health officials around a stay-at-home directive. In the interim, what we did last night as a city is we essentially have done that in telling our businesses, our restaurants, our bars, our gyms, they can't operate. And the restaurants can do takeout and delivery only. And again, these are hard decisions, but I think public health and the well-being of our community has to come first. So we've been telling folks that it's important to stay at home, unless for essential functions. I've also been talking with folks from our state legislature to our governor's office to Vice President Biden's team and others, our senator, about the need for some sort of cash stimulus to people. Because if people are going to be at home and not working, or if businesses aren't going to be able to operate, then folks are going to need some cash to get to navigate through this coronavirus. But essentially, in the city of Stockton, we're telling folks, stay at home unless it's essential. Check in on your neighbors, and we implore our friends in the private sector and others to kind of make that decision and understand that this is unprecedented. This is not a normal time, so we can't use normal ways of thinking, and we're going to be uncomfortable. But again, with already two deaths and 14 cases, just last night when we met, it was 13 cases, and I wasn't aware there were any deaths, signals to me that this is very serious, and we have a small window of time to get ahead of the curve, to begin to flatten the curve.
In fact, we're going to see if we can put this conversation together on the air. We are trying to reconnect with your director of public health, Mayor Tubbs, to see if we can explore where the county is at right now on this kind of a stay-at-home order. Meanwhile, you did an emergency meeting as sort of a telephone town hall. Tell me how that worked and if that's something that you're going to continue to do.
Yeah, so Monday, in response to, again, some of the angst and panic in the community, we had a teletown hall with myself, the public health officer, the superintendent of our largest school district, Stockton Unified, and our city manager. And we had upwards of 1,000-plus people on the line to hear just kind of updates at that time in terms of what was happening and what we were doing as a city to prepare for the coronavirus. So we were able to give out information. Give out facts. We're also able to take questions, and we look forward to doing that regularly over the next couple of weeks to make sure that people are getting accurate and up-to-date information. And then on Tuesday, we had an emergency council meeting just to ratify some of the things that we can do as a city to ensure that public health is the top priority, that we're protecting Stockton residents, especially those who are 65 and older, especially those with chronic health conditions, but also all of us. So we made very tough decisions last night, and we understand this is the beginning of a new day, of an unprecedented public health crisis, and when we have to respond accordingly, and that it's better to be overly cautious. It's better to be too careful than to act like things aren't different, to act like things aren't normal, to act like people won't be harmed and then to do nothing. So I'll continue to push and get us to the place where we're doing everything we possibly can to ensure that the residents of the city of Stockton are safe.
Mayor Tubbs, I'm not talking, obviously, with someone from the County Board of Supervisors, but there was a decision that county employees, to some extent, will continue to work through this time of coronavirus concerns. Can you address that at all and the concerns that might have for county employees?
Yeah, I've heard a lot from county employees, and as you mentioned, as mayor, I don't oversee or none of those folks report to me, but a lot of them do live in the city of Stockton. So I would say I think the city last week made a decision to do kind of remote work for our employees, except essential employees, and have folks working from home or not having any public-facing offices, closing our libraries, closing our community centers. And that's not just the best practice in Stockton. That's the best practice in government entities throughout the state. So I would implore my friends at the county to do the same.
All right, Mayor Tubbs, thank you so much. If we are able to reach your public health director, we'll get her back on the air here and we'll try to work through that question. Meantime, I appreciate checking in with you and all the ways that you're reaching out to the citizens of Stockton, and we'll consider this an ongoing conversation, okay?
And can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Because I think oftentimes, like, again, especially for our small businesses, are impacted. So what we've done as a city, we've also allocated $1 million last night to create a coronavirus emergency fund. And then I'm also starting a private fund with philanthropic dollars this week to sort of match that. So we have a little bit of money to help kind of ease into the transition of the time we're going into. So we're, again, it's not fun for anyone. It's not enjoyable for anyone. It's the times we live in, but together we'll get through it.
How can small business owners access that?
So by next Tuesday, we'll have clear guidelines and criteria from once the council votes in terms of how to access those funds.
All right. We will follow up. Thank you so much for your time, Mayor Tubbs.
Thank you.
That is Stockton's Mayor Michael Tubbs. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to focus some attention on grocery stores, on the supply chain, on panic shopping, and the hiring that's happening at grocery stores, too. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio.